Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ganesh Housing Corporation Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajat Gupta from Go India Advisors. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Fazan. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Ganesh Housing Corporation Limited earnings call to discuss the Q2 FY23 results. We have on the call with us today Mr. Rajendra Shah, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Neeraj Kalavatia, Vice President Finance, and Mr. Ravi, Corporate and Financial Advisor. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. We now request Mr. Rajendra Shah to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights. Subsequent to which, we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rajat. And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you all for joining us on this call today to discuss our Q2 FY23 results. We are happy to report another quarter of robust performance. As you would have seen from our financial performance, we would discuss those in details as well. Initially, would like to talk a bit on strategic front. We are extremely delighted to announce our strategic partnership with Tishman Speyers for the development of SEZ first phase, which would be a commercial development of around 1.2 million square feet. This is Tishman's first project in Ahmedabad and will enable us to collaborate with for SEZ development, property and lease management in phased manner. Having worked for global giants like Meta, Amazon, LinkedIn, JP Morgan, Accenture, Nike, and certain Indian blue chip companies, Tishman would bring along practices of international standard for benchmarking, monitoring project progress and quality assurance. They will also liaison with various agencies in project development and leverage its wide international network for development and marketing of our SEZ project. On the project update, both of our projects, namely Malabar County 3 and Malabar Exotica, currently under development are 100% booked and running ahead of schedule completion as we have used precast technology for construction, which is cost effective and helps us in achieving fast and better quality execution. In Malabar 3 project, we have received RERA approval and permission to commence construction in February 2021. During 19 odd months of actual construction post these approvals, we have managed to complete 94% of the construction in this project across 6 towers. In Malabar Exotica project, we have received RERA approval and permission to commence construction in July-August 2021. During 14 odd months of construction period, we have managed to complete over 28% of the project, and the project has been progressing ahead of the scheduled completion. As of September 2022, we have no inventory in ongoing projects. Also, ending September 2022, we have unsold completed inventory of 0.1 million square feet, which we value at around 435 million. Our strong performance on operational front led to strong financial performance during the quarter which has gone by. What is notable is from a peak debt of approximately 6,500 million, our net debt has significantly reduced to INR 269 million, which is shared over 25 crores, which is a drop of 96%, whopping 96% I would like to mention once again. Due to improved cash flows, ongoing and upcoming projects in key locations of Ahmedabad provide us with great comfort and visibility of cash flow, which keeps on track deleveraging further. Our revenue came in at 3,278 million for quarter 2 FY 2023 versus INR 739 million in quarter 2 of FY 22, which is 344% higher. In half year financial year 2023, our revenue grew at 142% and came in at 3,705 million versus INR 1,532 million in first half of financial year 22. Our EBITDA grew at 164% year on year and came in at 788 million for quarter two financial year 2023 versus INR 298 million in quarter 2 of financial year 22. During half year ending financial year 2023, EBITDA grew at 105% and stood at 1039 million versus INR 508 million in first half of financial year 2022. Our PAT for quarter two of financial year 2023 came in at around 193 million versus INR 54 million ending on quarter two financial year 2022, registering a growth of 27% year on year. In first half of financial year 2023, PAT increased 57% and stood at 324 million versus INR 206 million in first half of financial year 2022. Our finance cost reduced by more than 70% in rupees 159 million in half year first half of financial year 2023 compared to first half of financial year 2022. Coming to our future growth prospects, as mentioned previously, we continue to have a strong and robust project pipeline of 4 residential and 2 commercial projects which are going to come up soon. These projects are being launched in a phased manner, with 2 projects being launched over next 6 to 12 months, 3 projects being launched in over next 12 to 24 months, and 1 being launched in within next 24 to 36 months. I would further like to mention that Ahmedabad has consistently been the most affordable city in India since 2019. From 46% in 2010, the home purchase affordability index improved to 25% in 2019. With the advent of pandemic in early 2020, the affordability index further improved to 20% in 2021. In Q3 of 2022, the affordability index of city currently stands at 22%. We are confident about demand trend to continue in Ahmedabad despite economic growth concerns. With our superior execution track record and strong project pipeline, we are confident of achieving significant profitability in the coming years. With this, I request the floor to be open for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. The first question is from the line of Saurabh Jilda from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yep. Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, Saurav, you are audible.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving the opportunity to ask question. Can you, sir, please repeat your launch plans? Like, I couldn't hear you clearly earlier.
Sure. See, we have 6 projects in pipeline. Of these, four residential, of these, 4 are residential and 2 are commercial projects. These projects are being launched in a phased manner, with 2 projects being launched over next 6 to 12 months, 3 being launched over next 12 to 24 months, and 1 being launched within next 24 to 36 months.
Okay, okay, sir. Thanks for giving the info. It's clear now. And sir, another thing, like, we have a huge land bank. So how are we positioned to, you know, monetize it? Like, do we plan to go ahead with, you know, developing the whole land, or do we have any plans to monetize it apart from the development? Like, just wanted to understand our strategy around the huge land bank that we have.
Yeah, see, the land monetization is an ongoing activity for us, because since we have a huge land bank and we keep on developing our projects, keeping certain area in mind, and accordingly you see whenever we start developing any particular project in an area, we now keep upgrading them with the another phases. So that way the development keeps going on. And if you see the post first COVID wave, there is a huge demand of the land which has come up in the Ahmedabad. And there is a sudden shoot up in the land prices also because of the higher demand of the lands. And as a result, we are also monetizing some portion of our land bank. And obviously, you can't decide and you cannot predict any strategy ki how and when actually a land monetization will happen in a particular area. But it is all our opportunity based and it will keep on going.
Okay, so we are, monetizing also, outside of our own development plans.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, Malaki, whatever the area we have marked for our development purpose, that we never touch for the purpose of monetization.
Okay. Just to give you a little understanding of what Neeraj is saying, when we acquire very large tracts of land, there are, after we complete that acquisition, there are certain core area to the project and certain land parcels which are non-core to project which we want to develop. So our target is generally to monetize that non-core area first and develop core area which is there, which can be conducive to large project development. So we always keep on, we always have a revenue stream wherein we are monetizing some of the land bank and selling of some of the lands which are non-core to our project development, which will be in terms of priority, it will be first to go. And thereafter, we will develop project.
Right.
I hope I have answered you well, Saurav.
That's helpful, sir. And one more thing on the balance sheet side, I wanted to ask you, like, we have, significantly strengthened our balance sheet over the last few years. So now, like, what are our plans to, fund the future projects? Are we okay to take up more debt and then, aggressively develop, expand our project pipeline? Or how do you want to go about, developing the future pipeline?
The philosophy of the management is quite clear on this. We would not want to sacrifice growth to take care of debt and vice versa. That is, we will not keep taking debt just because there's a lot of growth. So the philosophy is that we'll continue to have a very low debt equity ratio as well as very low debt EBITDA ratio. So if a good opportunity comes in, which follows the philosophy of having a less than, let's say, 2, less than 1.5 debt EBITDA ratio, and if the opportunity is good, we'll go ahead with that. So it's a balancing what we have done. Yes, there was a leverage which was there earlier because of the circumstances which are there in the market. Now that they have been able to leverage it downwards, we wouldn't want to definitely go back to those 600 crores debt and all that. That definitely is not on the plan. But we would not obviously want to go lose an opportunity just because we have a control on the debt. So we'll surely balance the whole thing to have a good leverage ratio for the company.
Okay, yeah, understood. And so related to that, are you evaluating any opportunities right now?
For the land, are you saying?
Yep, yep.
That's an absolutely ongoing one. So they're both on monetization of the land as well as new land acquisition is an ongoing exercise because that's the raw material, right? So that's the bread and butter of the company. So that's an ongoing exercise in the strategic locations wherever we see future growth.
Oh, okay, sir. Fair enough. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shivang Joshi from Centrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Shivang.
Yeah. Just wanted to understand the launch pipeline that you've given two projects in the next 6 to 12 months. Any specific indication will it be back-ended or something like that? Because the only reason is currently we are in a good cycle as far as real estate is concerned, and we don't have our ongoing projects are already 100% booked even before the construction is completed. So. Are there any procedural delays or you're taking conscious decision to postpone the launches? Just wanted your take on why, despite having land availability from the street or from the investor point of view, we feel that the launches should be done ahead of time because you're already 100% booked. So wanted to understand what is your mindset while planning out your launches.
So, Shivang, just to give you perspective of what has been happening in Gujarat is, so recently, wherever areas where we have very large land parcels, recently new town planning scheme was announced. It's not very, very long back that town planning scheme was being implemented. And till the time you have town planning announced and that there are final plots which are available for development with clear market marked boundaries, it will be difficult for any developer to apply for any permissions. Now that permission has come in recently, and the project which are there in pipeline, one of that project, a very large project which will give us visibility of next 6 to 7 years is SEZ project. SEZ project also central government and state government has announced some of the rules and some of the relaxations very, very recently. So we were waiting for opportune time to launch those projects, and those projects are on drawing board as of now. We will be soon launching those projects, and as you might be aware that our area of operation is Gujarat. And Gujarat will be going into state election very, very soon. So we expect these new project launches and approvals for these new project launches to come in the quarter after the current quarter, meaning Q4 of financial year 2023. That is when we will start with groundbreaking, and that is when we are expected to have permission to commence construction.
Okay, so that is even other developers are either delaying their launches or waiting for an appropriate time to launch. It is not just Ganesh Housing who is slightly postponing their launches because of the reason you just mentioned, approval.
Adding further, Shivam, now we see now recently we have changed our strategy to other areas also. If we see it, now we are not just launching any project just for the sake of launching. A lot of planning and a lot of thought process are going on, keeping 5 to 7 years of the time horizon. Now, this Tishman Aspires collaboration is a classical example where we actually ended up with doing a collaboration with a top global player for keeping in mind the horizon of the next 7 years for developing an entire 64 acre of the land in that area. That will give a sizable annuity revenue to our bucket. Now, this kind of planning is going in the other pockets also, which we have been doing it for last one and two years, and gradually the things will come up as and when it comes into the stage where we can share to the public at large. So that is also something which we, on a strategic level, we are doing. Now the next 5 to 7 years is a very good period of time which we are considering for any sort of development.
Okay. Sir, on this SEZ announcement, so 64 acres out of your 500 acres land bank you are going to currently keep aside for the SEZ plans. So will it be a, obviously it will be a separate SPV. Could you give us more idea about what will be the arrangement with Ishman, whether it will be rev share, at what level and what kind of the capex you will have to do for this, and on your incremental capex, what kind of IRRs you are targeting? If you can just give a broad idea.
See, details,
because it's a new business number, for us.
Sorry. See, detailed financial number is something which we cannot share currently, but we can give you a slight overview of that. See, rightly of the first phases which we are planning to launch in Ganesh Housing itself, in the main holding company itself. And it will be largely targeted as an annuity rental project only, where we want to hold the asset for a longer period for a annual lease rental sort of this thing.
Okay. And last from my side, you just mentioned that you do look out for opportunities time and again for monetization. In the last 6 months or 1 year, apart from the projects or the land bank which has come in our development pipeline, any other specific monetization that you have done of land or nothing so far? And could you quantify over last 1 year, or you can say pre-COVID versus today, what has been on an average the land price hikes in Ahmedabad and overall in the geographies where you are operating?
Shivam, there has been no half year where we have not sold land and monetized it. It's a continuous stream of revenue. Though we are into development of finished units for residential and commercial, and we get a lot of revenue from there. Apart from that, selling of non-core land and realizing revenue and profits from that also is one of the very strong revenue line. And there is, if we see our history, last five to six years, barring 1 or 2 years where land sale was not happening, all half years we have steady revenue coming from land sales.
Maybe it's a little longer we are going ahead with this question, but it's very important, and therefore I thought I'll also add it to this. See, for any real estate, a continuous cash flows, continuous development is obviously the key. And therefore, we have a mixed bag of land which is there for development, as we already have said, and also land which is there for sale in the non-core areas. Now, wherever the development is going on, that will give us the continuous stream of cash inflows as well as P&L out of the accounting entries. And where there is no such kind of project which has announced, that is the time when we already have this non-core land which is being monetized. Many a times it is also together leading to an opportunity which might come in when projects are also going on and land is also going on. So if you see from now, or actually from the last year itself, there has been a mixed development. Both the two projects are coming in, which the P&L will be hitting in the last quarter of this year, and the land sale is also happening. Now, the new project which has to be announced, as both of them have just mentioned, will ensure, along with this land continuous non-core sale, that there will be a 5 to 7 years of constant cash inflows and P&L for the company. That's what I thought we'll try to add it, because that will give you a complete clarity as to where the company is headed towards.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Priya Harwani from Perpetuity Ventures. Please go ahead. Ms. Harwani, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead with your question. Ms. Harwani, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead with your question. As there is no response from the current participant, we'll move on to the next question. From the line of Jay Shah from Dolat Capital.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. My question is was that on your new strategic partnership with Tishman, so would the scope be limited only to phase one of commercial development, or would this partnership be for complete SEZ including residential?
Sure. Jay, right now we see Tishman's Spires is one who is expert in developing IT parks and developing commercial spaces world over. Their expertise, in fact, if somebody talks about real estate development of residential projects in Ahmedabad, actually we are capable ourselves. Right now, we have visibility of phase one of commercial, and we don't know how next phases are going to span out. That is why our partnership is right now limited to phase one of commercial development. However, whenever we announce phase two or phase three of commercial development with Tishman, we expect that this partnership will continue, and it's a long-term relations with Tishman Spires which we are looking at.
Okay, sure, sir. And one more question is that with respect to Tishman's responsibilities, how much would they like infuse, and how are the commercials worked around, and what would be the overall investment for this project? You can elaborate that.
See, this entire project will be funded by us only. So we are going to be the investor also in the project, and the Tishman will come as a technical partner, not as an investor partner.
Okay. Okay, and lastly, also wanted to know that both our projects are now completely booked. So we only have SEZ project, and near future, or we are planning to launch any other residential project in quarter three or quarter four. Couple of years for residential project as well.
So as Rajendra Bhai has earlier mentioned, our plan of launching the project in coming 6 months and 12 months, you see, there are the projects which are lined up for next 6 months and 12 months. So one residential project which is now targeted within this financial year, then this SEZ phase 1 is also being targeted within this financial year. So the already planning and approval process is going on for these projects. And once we get approval from the government, and we just run through the RERA approval process, and then only we can formally launch as per the new guidelines.
Okay, fair enough. And with respect to land pricing environment, how do you see the land pricing being up, and the price appreciation? Are you seeing anything on that line?
See, if you see, we mentioned earlier also, post this first COVID wave, there is a sudden demand in the land side. Now, you see, most of the people across Gujarat in Ahmedabad also, the people have now started looking for a weekend home or a separate independent home where on need base they can move on for a certain period of time or a longer period of time. That suddenly shoot up the demand for the land. And as a result, there's a sizable players who are into the real estate development for the bungalows and this weekend home. They started absorbing the land from the people like us who have been holding a sizable land bank in Ahmedabad and across Ahmedabad. That actually gave a sizable boost to the land prices. If you see, compared to the pre-COVID level to the current level, the prices has almost doubled or more than doubled in some areas also. And still the inquiries keep coming on. So, we also strategize ourselves in a particular manner so that we keep control over the price also, so that we get a better benefit out of the land monetization on the time base.
Okay, sure. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Vishal Bagadia from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in the Q1 call when we discussed, you had highlighted that the Gujarat market is a very price-sensitive market and price increases do not usually happen at a rapid pace. But looking at the all the input cost pressures going on, the raw material prices increasing. So in the last quarter, are there any price increases which we have seen in the market across the players?
See, if you see, Malaki, during last call also, we have shared also that in our case, we have a huge advantage of the land acquisition. In our case, the lands are historically acquired at a very low price. So we are positioned much better in terms of the price absorption of any increase in the project cost. Plus, whenever we plan for any project cost planning, we always keep at least 10% of the contingency towards increase in the project cost. That gives us the additional leeway that whenever during the course of the project, if there is any price increase, we can ourselves observe that increase in the price. The only thing which happened during last 6 odd months or 1 year, you see, there is a sudden shoot up in the price because of this Russia-Ukraine war. So that actually could have impacted the market on an overall basis to a certain extent. But you see, for over last 1.5 years, there is a consistent price rise on the residential side and commercial side. And if you see, we were just discussing a last report which was also published by ISEC Research on the top 8 cities, which talks about in terms of the growth number, Ahmedabad stood on the number 1 on year-on-year growth in terms of the absorption of the residential unit. That itself talks about the absorption capacity of the new price rise. We are also increasing the price in our ongoing project to some extent. So that way, Malak, so far market has not behaved in any manner where we see any challenge in terms of the price absorption.
Sir, so if you could quantify like how much is the price increase that has happened by a percentage?
See, 10 to 15% price has increased over last 6 to 8 months in the market.
Okay, and going forward, are you expecting that the market would see any other further price increases?
See, if you see in the current market, post this RERA implementation, market is driven by the top 10 players of the market. And we stood in top 3 players in the segment. So obviously, it is like the customer is now to save it towards dealing with the top developers only. So, and if you see, the price is always commanded by the top developers only. And whenever we launch our project, we consider that cost of construction plus the advantage of the historical cost of land. And accordingly, the prices are, since the price is increasing and the current trend is also showing the consistent increase, we also expect at least 10% of the increase over next 6 months also. So that way we see, we don't see any challenge in the absorption of that price increase also. Because if we see in the Ahmedabad market, there is even a, Malaki, there is not even a single project which is completed and there is any inventory left, except for negligible numbers, which we can say not even 2% of a project.
Okay, sir. And my second question would be on the medium to longer term for a 2 to 3 year perspective for the Ahmedabad market, given that GIFT City coming up. So how are we anticipating the demand to come in for the current period? As you're saying that there is no inventory standing for any of the ongoing projects across the market, that is the current scenario. But how are we expecting in the next 2 to 3 years on the residential side for the markets to grow?
See, if you see, this post this COVID wave, when the market started picking up, prices started increasing, the absorption started increasing, this period has come up after a gap of 6 years. For 5 to 6 years pre-COVID, the market was stagnant in terms of the absorption also, in terms of the price increase also. And if you see, Bombay is a classical example. If you are there, so you can easily understand this. Over 6 period of time, when the market is stagnant, price is increased, that itself says the market was operating at a discount because the price increase was not even matching with the inflation cost also. So almost you can see that the market was operating at subsidized rates. So now, and whenever you see historically, when you see the real estate cycle, whenever it starts picking up, it remains in the market at least for 5 to 6 years. So if you say if you don't go to the horizon of 5 to 6 years, at least for 2-3 years, we don't see any challenge in terms of the price of the sensation in the market, in terms of absorption also. Because whenever there is an inventory which gets over of the completed project, it is always like whenever the price is low in the market, nobody will come and pick up. Whenever the price will increase, everyone will try to bounce in the market, and they say they don't want to miss the opportunity. So the market operates that way only.
Further, to add to whatever Neeraj has just said, one has to also look at price increase and affordability in the backdrop of the way economy of Gujarat is booming, and particularly economy of Ahmedabad. Influx of people, lot of infra work which is happening around, and affordability of people and income levels going up. I don't see there is going to be any letdown in prices and demand for real estate projects.
Thank you, sir, for the great explanation. That is all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Vishal.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Naman Bansali from Perpetuity Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question will be on your strategy on the commercial field. We are planning to launch an SEZ. And would it be an outright sale or annuity based? And what will be the annual cash flow from these commercial projects we are expecting over like next couple of years?
Sure, Naman. See, we expect that we will be it will be annuity based revenue which we'll collect from commercial side of the SEZ project. And right now it will be too early to predict what kind of rentals we will command. But just to give you some bit of rough idea, a good commercial project in the vicinity is commanding a gross leasable area per square feet monthly rental of about 50 rupees a square feet.
Okay. And my second question is that how much construction cost has gone up for your ongoing projects in the last quarter? And how do you see it impacting our projections over the next few quarters? Are there any surprises that you see there?
We have seen 6 to 7% increase in last 6, 7 to 8 months in input cost which goes into construction of any residential project. So same is the case with commercial as well. As Neeraj has just explained, we generally built a buffer of 7 to 8% minimum for any contingencies. Now, expecting this inflationary trend and Russia-Ukraine war, if that doesn't get settled soon, we will increase this buffer to about 15%, which will keep us safe so that our margins in the project are protected. I think I have answered your question.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Pratul Shah from Anubhuti Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I have a question with regards to the financials. So my first question is with regards to the cash flow from financing activities. It is having a mention of 220 crore with respect to changes due to subsidiary. So just wanted to know that what is that effect given in the financials?
See, if you see, Malab, we have a project in subsidiary companies also, and there are some land parcel also which we hold by this subsidiary company. So this cash flow is indicating a revenue from those projects as well as the land sale from this subsidiary companies, which is now figuring here as an indication is because of the subsidiary. But on a consolidated basis, it is comes in this way only.
Just to know that Won't it come in the operating activity directly because it's normal business?
It comes in the financing activity because whenever these projects were launched and these projects were keep on going, this has been funded by the holding company. So this appears as a loans to this subsidiary company. So whenever the cash flow is generated in the subsidiary company, they paid back that a portion of that loan back to the holding company. So since it is classified as a loan, it is coming in the financing activity.
Okay, got it. And my second question is with respect to the tax expenses. So if we see in this quarter, the total of current tax and deferred tax, there is a total tax expenses is basically 75% of the PBT. So why this tax expenses are high in this quarter particularly and deferred tax particularly? So is there any transaction which has taken this higher?
Praful, we had earlier tax shield available in terms of accumulated losses, which has been exhausted this quarter, and hence we are supposed to and we are providing tax at current rates. Earlier, though we were earning profits, you will see profit before tax to profit after tax ratio was very high because we had tax shield which was available in terms of accumulated losses which were required to be knocked off against current profits.
Okay, and during the quarter, is there any land transaction that has occurred, like just we discussed earlier in this call, the selling of non-core lands? So is there any transaction like that has occurred in this quarter?
Yes, we have land sale revenue which has happened in this quarter.
Can you guide us regarding the amount of it?
About 300 and odd crores is the land sale.
So basically from total revenue of from operation of 327 crore, 300 crore is basically with respect to the land sales, land proceeds.
Yes.
Okay, got it. And with going forward, can you guide on some tax rate which we can assume for the balance full year and years coming forward?
25. No, we are subjected to 25% tax plus surcharge, whatever is applicable on business.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you, Prasad.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
On behalf of Ganesh Housing Corporation Limited and my team, I Rajendra Shah, thank you all for showing interest in our company and thank you for remaining present and we welcome you. Thank you and see you again in next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.